The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. It'll be Sean Quinn, John Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. We have two meetings to look forward to. We have a Jumpers Bumpers card at Southwell and racing on the all-weather poly track at Wolverhampton. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action now is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Pretty well now, Mark. There's no show on Saturday. That was a disaster, but happily here now.
Yes, and you'll be in the studio on Monday, so you're going to look ahead to some of that action for us. But before we get to that, John, let's talk about Saturday. Let's talk about some of the results. We'll start with the racing at Ascot, and the big race there was the Grade 1 Ascot Chase. And Captain Chris going one better than he did last year. He finished second to Q-Card in the 2013 renewal, going one better in 2014, and he's done it very well in the end, John.
Yeah, I'm delighted for him and for Connections, because, you know, they've been very bold with this horse, I think, Mark, over the past sort of three or four seasons, and Captain Chris has, you know, done them proud, but without quite winning. You know, I thought he perhaps a little bit unlucky not to win a King George and numerous other really big races. Cheltenham doesn't really suit, although of course he has won a big race there, and it was great to see him both jump well and pound the rivals into the mud. He just made one mistake, I think, at the ninth, but he quickly recovered from that, and well, he really did show his class, and you know, great win, and he could go on to win other big races. As I say, not great at Cheltenham horse, I think, but funnily enough, although it's the same way, he runs pretty well at Aintree.
He's better going right-handed, though, isn't he?
He is much better going right-handed, yes. You know, Kempton Ascot are very much his tracks. One thinks a little bit about Sandown, big festival at the end of the season. The only trouble with those races is that they often go to horses who are fresh, who haven't really raced during the middle of the winter. But he's a class individual. Philip Hobbs' horse is in great shape, and it was great to see him win. Mind you, I thought the second ran pretty well, Cloudy too. I would imagine that Sue and Harvey Smith very pleased with the running there, and although the horse definitely does stay 3 miles, I would be, you know, pretty well certain that 2.5 run Cheltenham would suit really well, and I imagine that Clyde 2 will go for the Ryanair, and you know, he could be a really serious northern rival in that race.
Yes. One of the other big results at Ascot, John, on Saturday was in the RSA trial. O'Fallon's Boy coming out on top ahead of Many Clouds and Third Intention. What did you make of that race?
Interesting. It's got a very good record for producing top-class winners. You know, when it used to be referred to as the Reynoldstown Chase, I remember one man winning it, but that's some time ago. I thought it was a good race. I thought that Many Clouds ran particularly well. His jumping was excellent. I wonder whether Leighton Aspel, though, will have thought after the race that perhaps he was just a little bit unwise to take on Gevrey Chambertin so early. Did you think that might be a case?
Yeah, with Many Clouds being such a strong stayer, I think at the time I thought maybe he should just kick on a little bit and try and make it into a real test and see if anybody can stay with him. Instead, he kind of eyeballed Gevrey Chambertin for a bit, didn't he? And I think that allowed O'Fallon's Boy to come into the race quite nicely. So, yeah, I think maybe if he'd just attacked it a little bit more and gone a little bit more aggressive, I think the result may have been different.
Yeah, I think if he'd attacked it and gone on earlier when he was jumping so really well, mind you, Geoffrey Chambertin was jumping pretty well at the time too. Either done that or perhaps even played a slightly more patient hand in the race. It struck me that he was taking on the grey too far out, and he just lost out at a vital moment. I thought he was going to win comfortably turning for home. I hadn't noticed O'Fairlin's boy coming up quite so fast, and you know, luckily Simon Holt did. That was quite amusing, because he seemed to be convinced, like many commentators would have been, it was a straightforward match with about 3/4 of a mile to go. But then he mentioned suddenly that O'Fairlin's boy was actually running well and could get into the mix, which was a safety investment call by Simon Holt, and absolutely accurate. Many times ran on pretty well in the closing stages. I didn't think he ran a bad track if he goes for the RSA. I tell you what, though, I did think the winner was interesting, not necessarily because that's going to go to Cheltenham and win everything, but he was trained by Rebecca Curtis, who's had a desperately thin period, and I thought at Fisher's Cross ran pretty well in the Cleve hurdle, and this was a Rebecca Curtis horse who finished remarkably well. And if you go on another race, Mark, you will see that Restless Harry won, didn't he? The Weatherby's insurance race, but who was second? T for Three. Another Rebecca Curtis horse running really well. T for Three ran an excellent Grand National trial, in my view, and you know, he ran well at Aintree last year, and I think we need to look carefully at Rebecca Curtis over the next month, and certainly the running of both those horses were excellent advertisement for At Fisher's Cross chances in the World Hurdle.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, John, and you mentioned T for Three there. Now, clear favourite for the Grand National after that, 12-1 clear favourite ahead of Monbeg Dude, who's 16s with Tidal Bay, Gosme Judge 20s, and Triolo Delenn is 20-1 as well. It's in 25-1 or bigger the price, bigger price as the rest. But I was impressed with T for Three, battled all the way to the line, perfect prep for Grand National, gets in off a lighter weight this year, finished third last year, and yeah, I quite like T for Three at the moment.
Has to be on everyone's shortlist, doesn't it, T for Three? I mean, he ran extremely well at Aintree last year. I must remember that was on not on the strength of, but after a really gruelling race in the Welsh Grand National, where he was heavily fancied, heavily backed, looked like winning, and was then just run out of it over the last sort of two or three fences. A really gruelling race. I don't think he'd necessarily recovered from that, and as you say, has got a slightly lower weight this year run. I think this was an excellent trial for the National, and I wouldn't have thought it was necessary to run him again. I think he will go very well, has to be high on notebook for Aintree, T for Three.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject of Grand Nationals and John and the Grand National trial, we had one at Haydock, of course. Rigadon de Bourchon coming out on top in that, winning fairly comfortably from Emperor's Choice, and then a long distance back to Lochbar in third place as well. And been off for a while, Rigadon de Bourchon. It was a great training performance to get him back winning after, I think it was 301 days off the track.
Yeah, quite remarkable. You know, Venetia Williams and her team have done amazingly well this year. And I emphasise the word year because, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, well, of course, Venetia's horses always come into their best after Christmas with the mud. In a rather sort of, you know, almost pushing down kind of tone. Actually, Venetia Williams' horses have been in great shape since well before Christmas, and she must have an amazing team at the stable getting these horses really fit after long absences. And Rigadon de Bourchon ran remarkably well, no question about that, and she also had the second horse in Emperor's Choice, who ran very well after a pretty tough race at Forslass the time before. Frankly, Mark, I didn't think it was a great Grand National trial, though. I was looking through the race. It was run, of course, on pretty testing ground. I thought perhaps Our Father was the one horse who ran, to me, well in that contest, bearing in mind, you know, he'd been absent for a while. And I thought Our Father showed enough potential to be involved in whatever big race the stable decide to send him for, but I didn't think it was a really tremendous race. I tell you what, at Haydock, I'll See You at Midnight was a magnificent winner earlier on, trained by Sandy Thompson, you know, who trains sort of up in Berwick, Berwickshire, and his father was the chairman of Kelso for many years, and he's been training horses relatively successfully over the past sort of three or four seasons. But my goodness me, now you know, he really is getting among the winners, and Any Given Moment and See You at Midnight particularly. I saw this horse beat Regal Encore at Hexham earlier in the autumn. Regal Encore, who'd run so well in the Cheltenham National Hunt to bumper, you know, was strong odds on, got well beat at Hexham. I thought, well, that might be a bit of a fluke. And then I was at Musselburgh about, say, a fortnight ago, and the horse absolutely scooted up in a valuable hurdle and made all the running to win yesterday at Haydock. I should think Sandy is a bit upset he didn't bother about putting him into a race at Cheltenham, but he could well pick up some big hurdle at Aintree, perhaps.
Yeah, very impressive. Yeah, because I very much expected Celestial Halo to win that race. And yeah, he couldn't get near him, could he, in the end?
No, I mean, he made all the running at Musselburgh, which is a very tight track, but completely different from Haydock. Mm. And, you know, it was a very good performance. The stable horse is running really well, and See You at Midnight is a horse who mustn't be dismissed completely. It was a reasonably successful point-to-point. He'll stay the trip all right.
Yeah, and just moving on to the other Grade 2 winner at Haydock as well, in the Albert Bartlett trial, the Prestige Novices Hurdle, Tubera winning another big success for Venetia Williams and Aidan Colan.
Yes, underrated horse, Tubera, underrated horse by me, anyhow. I opposed it unbelievably when running previously at Exeter, and it ran remarkably well there. I think it was Exeter in the West Country, anyhow, and has got another scalp. Yeah, useful horse, and improving fast.
And we must talk about the big race at Wincanton as well, John. We saw Melodic Rendezvous just getting the better of Zarkander in the end. It turned into a bit of a battle up the home straight, and Grometti back in third in that race. And how do you rate Melodic Rendezvous' champion hurdle prospects? Because if it's a soft ground champion hurdle, John, he must come into the reckoning somewhere.
I've always rated this horse, Mark, very much so. I don't necessarily think he'll win the champion hurdle, but one or two people have been remarkably rude about Melodic Rendezvous over the past sort of year or so, suggesting that Jeremy Scott's horse isn't in the calibre to take a hand in a Grade 1 race like the champion hurdle. I've always disagreed with that. The critics, relished the fact that Melodic Rendezvous was virtually pulled up in the fighting fifth and said, there you are, you see. But in fact, he quite clearly got muscular trouble behind at Newcastle and didn't run his race. He then came out and ran remarkably well at Haydock, showing, I thought, real acceleration from the final flight. And he did the same at Wincanton yesterday or on Saturday. I mean, the Kingwell hurdle was a really decent contest, and you've only got to look at the placed horses to realise that Melodic Rendezvous has actually run a particularly good race, and again accelerated with eye-catching mode from the final flight. Now, it clearly likes heavy ground, although Jeremy Scott has been at pains to point out that he feels the horse will go equally well on good ground. And I've always said that Melodic Rendezvous had every reason to be in the champion hurdle if conditions came up his way, early 25-1. I don't know what his price is at the moment.
Yeah, our traders must not be too impressed with him, John, because he's still 25-1.
Well, I think 25-1, you know, dare I say it each way, which goes against the grain as far as I'm concerned, could see the horse running a biggish race. Remember, he's won at Cheltenham. He won quite a competitive race in which Nicky Richards sent Edouard down last year when Edouard was winning over hurdles well, and it was quite a good horse, made favourite in that race. David Russell rode the Greystoke horse, had every chance at the final flight, but Melodic Rendezvous came from a long way back, absolutely whizzed up the hill and beat both Edouard and quite another decent horse in second place, went on to win a biggish race at Sandown. See, he's by no means a hopeless horse, and it might turn out to be soft at Cheltenham, and if it really did, you know, Melodic Rendezvous, I think, is a decent outsider.
Okay, Melodic Rendezvous then, 25-1 for the champion hurdle, and of course we'll learn what happens in about 3 weeks' time. It's creeping up on us now, John. It's getting ever closer. Anything else caught your eye for Saturday before we move on to Monday's action?
Not to a great deal, apart from an old favourite of mine who just missed out third place at 20-1 at Haydock. Jimmy Moffitt's horse is running really well, and he's got a little horse called Kel Elite, who has tried as hard as he can over the past sort of three or four races. Was a good second at Haydock two outings ago, just failed to get into third place last time out in the per temps on Saturday, and if he doesn't win a small race before the end of the season, then I'm more than two Dutchmen.
Fair enough. Let's move on to Monday's racing then, John. You've picked out three races at Wolverhampton. Competitive card at Wolverhampton as well on Monday. And the first race that John has picked out is the 215, which is Division 1 of this amateur rider's handicap over a mile and a half. And where do you want to start in this one then, John?
Well, I have to start with Simon Walker, I think, is the answer to that, Mark. You know, some people decry these sort of races, amateur riders' races, lady riders' races. I'm not a great stats man, but I do form the impression that they very often go to the more accomplished amateur riders. And, I mean, say Simon Walker, to me, although he is a personal albatross, generally, in that whenever I support him and he's strongly fancied to win on a well-back favourite, somehow or other he can and does get beat. But overall, he is an outstanding amateur and has been for a long time. He's on a horse called Fair Breeze in the first division here. Richard Phillips trains. He doesn't very often train winners on the flat, Richard Phillips, but Simon Walker has been booked, and I quite like the way that he ran at Wolverhampton last time out. Was second to Waving, who then went on to win at Lingfield, and there's interesting connection, isn't there, with another horse in the same race, in that Miles of Sunshine will also be well supported in this contest and is ridden by the toughest teak, Serena Brotherton. Now, she's won two amateur rider races in the past month and is riding as well, if not better, as she always has done. And Serena will get the best out of Miles of Sunshine, who was second to Waving at Lingfield. Now, I was pretty certain Waving would win that race. Luke Morris was on board, and my goodness, he earned his fee, because Waving was going nowhere at Lingfield halfway round. But Luke Morris would not let the horse drop out, and his determination was rewarded when Waving's stamina came into action, and Waving did in fact go on to win that second race at Lingfield. But I thought the horse made a lot of hard work about it. Miles of Sunshine was in the end quite comfortably beaten in second place, and I thought Fair Breeze's effort was a bit better beforehand. We've got Freddie Mitchell riding in the race as well, decent amateur rider. Luck hasn't gone his way, but he's on Red Skipper, who could get into the mix, and he is a decent pilot, but it could be Walker v Brotherton, and I'm going to go for Serena, not for Serena, for Simon, the other S, Simon Walker, to win on Fair Breeze.
Yeah. On a line of form through Waving, Fair Breeze got within a length of Waving, whereas Miles of Sunshine was two and a bit lengths behind. So on a line through that, you'd expect Miles of Sunshine to have a little bit to make up on Fair Breeze, wouldn't you?
Well, I thought I thought Fair Breeze had run pretty well at Wolverhampton, and hopefully will do so again on Monday.
Okay. The 2:45 is the next race we're going to look at. This is Division 2 of this amateur riders handicap over a mile and a half. And again, Simon Walker will be popular here. He's on board Funky Monkey, who comes into this in pretty decent form, John.
Yeah, in very decent form. Trained by Alistair Willans up at Hoyk in the Borders, and Alistair's horses, having had a terrible summer last year, couldn't get a winner for about 4 months. They've been going very well, the Willans horses, recently, both over hurdles and on the flat. Funky Monkey is certainly well up there, and the booking of Simon Walker an obvious hint. But there's another young amateur riding, and I say young because Simon might consider he is young, but he is in fact around about 40 mark, I think, upper 30s anyhow. We've got Jamie Hamilton riding here. Now, the two Hamilton boys, you know, they really are good young amateur riders, James and Tom. And they finished first and second in a hunter chase at Kelso last Thursday. And Tom Hamilton actually won a race at Musselburgh the previous day. And earlier in the afternoon, the two Hamilton boys had finished second and third in an amateur riders race at Musselburgh. Jamie Hamilton is with Venetia Williams now. He was with Richard Fahey during the summer, moved to Venetia Williams, and is getting the odd ride for Venetia. He's a very talented young rider. He did, of course, ride Tartan Snow to win the Aintree Fox Hunters last year, and that horse won again at Kelso last week. He's riding well at the moment, Jamie Hamilton, and he's on a horse called Gold Macon in this race, trained by James Given. Got quite a good record at Wolverhampton. And I think on the flat that Gold Macon is the equal, if not a tiny bit better than Funky Monkey overall. So I'm going to go with James Hamilton in this race to score for James Given on Gold Macon.
Okay. Gold Machin then for John in the 2:45. And moving on to the final race, we're going to look at the 5:45, which is a Class 5 handicap over 7 furlongs. Again, it's a competitive race, and we have 12 of them in the lineup, and you could take a case for quite a number of these.
Yes, it's a very competitive race, isn't it? The one right at the top, Mark, is coming back to form. One Scoop or Two hasn't actually gained an outright success for quite a while now, but I noticed that he ran a fairly sound fourth last time out, One Scoop or Two, making much of the running and then dropping out when beaten inside the last sort of couple of furlongs. Toymaker was the winner. That was here at Wolverhampton. Then we've got an interesting booking here for Richard Fahey on Kailaki Star. Now, unless I'm completely wrong, Hayley Turner has been booked to ride this horse.
Yeah.
Now, that's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah,
Mark, my memory is, of course, fades, but I can't remember Hayley Turner riding very much for Richard Fahey, if ever before.
No.
Kailaki Star is a perfectly sound horse, could go well. However, I'm going to go for Strong Man in this race. I've been with Mick Easterby over the past sort of couple of months. Perfect Pasture's been done tremendously well. But Singzak is a horse that I've been following out of the Easterby stable. Finally got his nose in front last time out at 9-4. Now, Strong Man comes in to the same category. He is best at 7 furlongs. In my view, he is best when he is at Wolverhampton, and also when he is ridden by Mr. Gibbons, who's in the saddle again today. And I think he's got a very decent chance here. He's been travelling around the country, has Strong Man. He was down at Kempton last time out, and that was the day that Hoofit failed to go into the stalls, if I remember rightly. He didn't run at all badly. He finished 5th to Sheolin, and before that had been at Southall. And he'd also run perfectly soundly there. He was second to a Southall specialist, Kung Hai Fat Choi. I think it's third time lucky for Strong Man. He's back at Wolverhampton. He's on a decent mark. And Graham Gibbons will get the very best out of him. This is a race that I think will be decided up front. One Scoop or Two is likely to go pretty quickly from the stalls. So will Strong Man. And I hope to see him come through and score score for Mick Easterby.
Okay, then, strong man in the 5:45. Let's just have a quick summary then, John, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yes, well, we go for the amateur races of Wolverhampton, 2:15, Simon Walker on Fair Breeze. In the 2:45, I think Simon would go well on Funky Monkey, but the choice is, I say it was Gold Macon, but I think you're right, it's probably Gold Machin should be the pronunciation. And then in the 5:45, the choice is Strong Man.
Good work, John. Thank you very much. You're in the studio on Monday as well, so enjoy the action.
Looking forward to it, Mark.
So there you go, Lord Budden's thoughts for Monday's racing. Then tune in to Racing Radio from 2:05 p.m. to hear the action. It'll be Sean Quinn, Lord Budden and Mark Slater in the studio. We have a Jumpers Bumpers card from Southwell and All Weather Racing from Wolverhampton. So tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.